Each week, a well-known person is asked the question, if you were to be cast away alone on a desert island, which gramophone records would you choose to have with you? As usual, the castaway is introduced by Roy Plumley.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Our castaway this week is an actor, and it's Kenneth Connor. Kenneth, have you ever daydreamed about being a Robinson Crusoe?
Yes, very often.
Do you like yourself in the part?
Well, I wouldn't say I like myself in the part. If ever the part came up that I had to play it, I'd be quite capable of carrying it through.
What would you be particularly afraid of, apart from the loneliness?
Well, I'm fearful of loneliness at home. When the house is empty, I can't bear it. But surrounded by the ocean, forced to live under these circumstances, I would not be fearful of loneliness at all. It would be part of one's everyday life, put up with it all the time.
Mm.
I would dream a lot, of course. That would upset me a bit. And I'd be rather frightened, I think, in case any of my fonder dreams came true.
Do you play the gramophone a lot?
Only when the boy's home. And then it's a great time.
What job do you want these 8 records to do for you on the island? Cheer you up, remind you of the past, bring you human voices?
What? Every one of those things.
What's the first one?
Samantha. Bing Crosby singing Samantha.
Why do you choose this?
Because it is a lovely song. And the way it's done on this record, it's full of sincerity, real meaning, real truth. The music is right for the words are right for the music, and there is just nobody who could sing it the way Bing Crosby does.
I love you, Samantha, and my love will never die. Remember, Samantha, I'm a one-girl
guy. Bing Crosby. What's your second choice?
Now, the second choice is a Portuguese record to remind me of my first holiday with my family. My boy was about 3 and a half. We made real friends on that holiday. One of them, a Portuguese bullfighter, who brought 2 of his wonderful horses onto the beach one day and rode them through the waves. The kid lived in heaven. He's never left it. And at night, we would sit and listen to the bullfighter play his records, which he brought into the bar. And one of them was this Dr. Augusto, somebody or other, bless his heart, singing a fado song or a blues song from Coimbra, the university town or city of Portugal. That would remind me of my holiday.
Não perguntes quem morreu. Se ouvires dobrar os sinos, não perguntes quem morreu.
A Portuguese fado sung by Dr. Augusto Camacho. Kenneth, where were you born?
London.
Do you come from a theatrical family?
No, not at all. My father was one of the leading lights of the Royal Yachts concert party.
He was a member of the crew, was he?
Mm-hmm. Petty officer rigger, he was.
Yes.
And their great joy was to have always a magnificent concert ready for when King George V and Queen Mary were on board, for Cowes Week and various other functions. And he, along with all the other sailors, have entertained an audience practically consisting of royalty from every country in Europe.
Yes.
And my brother and myself, I was about 9, my brother was 7, we used to work with that concert party in their charity works, the South Coast, Trafalgar Day Orphanage Fund.
Mm.
And one of our greatest highlights was the Portsmouth Hippodrome with the Royal Marine Band in the pit, and we sang a comedy duet character comedy song.
And this gave you the idea you wanted to be a professional actor?
Yes, yes.
How did you set about it?
Well, it was, again, my father who went to see Jessie Matthews when she was at the King's Theatre, Southsea. Took me in with him. Forced his way in, he did. I was most embarrassed. And she said, elocution lessons first and foremost. And that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
went on, played Shakespeare in an amateur way in Portsmouth, and then came to the Central School of Drama in London.
Yes, where I believe you left with the gold medal for acting.
Mm-hmm.
Which Sir Laurence Olivier had also done a few years before.
That's right. He tied for it, you know. Had to share it with somebody.
Whereas you?
Outright, of course.
Well, what was your first job when you left the Central School?
J.M. Barrie's The Boy David.
With Elizabeth Bergman?
Yes, and Guthrie Terle, Leon Quatermain.
This wasn't a very long engagement, was it?
No, unfortunately, no.
And then?
It was repertory. Bits and pieces here and there. Do you know, one night in the war, I was on guard. And to keep myself awake, I worked out how much I'd earned as a professional actor in those 3 or 4 years. Mm. And I still cannot get it above 10 shillings a week average.
Oh, dear. Well, after those odd weeks in repertory,
I finished up 1939, Open Air Theatre, Regent's Park, and I was called up for 6 months' training by Horb Alicia.
Yes.
That was the best engagement I've ever had. It worked out to 6.5 years.
Was there any theatre work in the army?
All the time, concert parties, all the time. 15th Scottish Division, the Tam O'Shanters, we had great fame and fortune. Then they abandoned that, and I found myself in the pool of artists, the stars in battle dress.
Mm. Was this concert party again, or
no,
straight
plays? No, plays.
Well, while you're in the army, I think this is a point where we can break off for another record. What next?
Jimmy Durante, Schnozzle, singing a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
Why do you choose Schnozzle?
Well, he is the most uncomplicated person I've ever met. I hope I'm right, because he could play Hamlet for me and walk away with the show.
Folks, I'm gonna tell you about my gal that's got it. I'm gonna tell you about the gal that's a pip. When I'm finished telling you about my gal that's got it, why, it and pip won't be the right words to describe her. She's not only got it, but she's got that. And between it and that, she's a pip. She's a little bit this and a little bit that and a little bit short and a little bit fat, but everybody loves my gal. She's a little bit...
Little bit this, little bit that, Jimmy Durante. Kenneth, when you left the army?
Yes. A troop ship back to Southampton.
From where?
From Alexandria.
Mm-hmm.
A cable had been sent to me, a green cable, saying, join the Bristol Old Vic immediately.
What did you play there?
All the Fools in Lear, and plays by Priestley, and Irish plays, Playboy of the Western World.
Mm. How long were you at Bristol?
18 months.
And after that?
London Old Vic for 9 months.
Shakespeare Fools again?
Yes.
And after the Old Vic?
The bottom seemed to fall out of things for a moment or two. I did some concert party work in Brighton. That was rather going back to what I did in the army, so I didn't like that very much.
Mm.
Then I came to London, where I played a lovely part in Queen Elizabeth Slept Here at the Strand Theatre.
Oh, an old gardener.
That's right. Yeah. Michael Denison and Dulcie Gray. That ran for a year or more. Then I left the theatre for 8 years, I should think, and concentrated on radio.
Yes. And when you came back to the theatre?
A review at the Duke of York's about 2 years ago. I took over from Kenneth Williams. One Over the Eight, it was called.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. And, of course, at the moment, you're in that very successful A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum.
Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it?
Well, now, radio and television, which has played a very big part in your career, when were you first on the air?
Sid Walker. One of his sketches he used to do, What Would You Do, Chums? Or something.
Oh, Bandwagon?
Yeah.
Before the war?
Yeah.
Were you in that?
Just the once.
Mm-hmm. And since then, of course, hundreds if not thousands of appearances.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the time as comedian's labourer.
Mm-hmm. All the time. Many more years to come, they tell me.
With Ted Ray for many years.
Mm-hmm. And Eric Barker. I was with Ted for 8 years, or probably more.
On sound?
Mm-hmm.
And on television as well?
Towards the end, we did the two, yes. I played his brother-in-law on television.
And Eric Barker, that was the Just Fancy series.
Mm-hmm. I often feel that acting those little vignettes of Eric Barker will always stand me in very good stead for microscopic observation parts in films or plays of the future. They were wonderful things to play.
Mm-hmm. And you've played, of course, occasionally in serious plays on the radio. On the
yes, third programme, things like that I've done quite a lot of.
Well, let's have record number 4 now. Where have we got to?
Well, this will take me to television, the greatest joy, the black and white minstrel show, which I was with for 3 seasons, with Glenn Mason and Benny Lee. I couldn't unwind. I never slept any night after a transmission of this show, and I would like the Banjo Kings playing Down South.
The Banjo King's playing down south, a television memory. Now, films, Kenneth, you've been in a lot of films, haven't you?
Yes, yes.
Lately, you've been in a very long series of carry-on films. How many altogether?
I think it's 8 or 9 that I've done. And there's another one coming up for me in July.
What's this one?
Carry On Cleopatra.
Have you any big ambition?
Yes, I would like to get around now to playing character roles of some dramatic importance in films and in the theatre and on television.
Yes, not purely comic.
No, I don't want to be in any more really half-hour shows.
Mm. Have you any ambitions to direct?
No. No, I never have had. I've always thought that it would be impertinent for me to tell established artists what to do.
Let's have record number 5.
Yes, please. East of the Sun and West of the Moon.
Why?
I have sung this very often, ever since I first heard it as a young man. It's a complete love song to me.
And who's singing it on this record?
Frank Sinatra, please.
Well, east of the sun and west of the moon, we'll build a dream house of love, dear. Near to the sun in the day, crazy moon at night.
Frank Sinatra, which brings us now to number 6.
The Moonlight Sonata, Beethoven, played by Moiseevich.
Why do you choose this?
This is full of the magic of the night. Now and again one experiences it, coming home late, standing in the garden, when it's quiet, dark, wonderful. But really, when these moments do occur, you realize that the whole of your life you go through working at nights, coming home, putting the car away, doing this, that, and the other, and the romance and magic of night escapes you all the time. I'd want this.
Moiseevich playing the opening of Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata. Now, you talked glibly just now, after having built your shelter and got the fish in, you'd be as good as that on a desert island. You could
look after yourself. Oh, yes, indeed.
What are your hobbies?
Gardening.
Mm. So you could cultivate a bit.
I already built a camp in the garden for my son and myself.
Yes. Could you build a boat?
Yes, I could build a boat.
Would you try to escape?
Oh, after a certain length of time, of course, one would escape. If only to find out what one's manager was up to.
Yes, this would be a worry.
Yes.
Another record.
Another record. Les Sylphides, the ballet. This is just beautiful. And my reasons for loving this are so private that I wouldn't even tell myself on the desert island.
Thank you.
The Nocturne from Les Sylphides, Roger Desormier conducting the Paris Conservatoire Orchestra. What's your last one going to be?
This will be the Royal Marine Band, Portsmouth Division, the Royal Yacht Band, playing A Life on the Ocean Wave.
Why?
Because I lived, as I've said, in Portsmouth, and I used to go every Sunday to see the church parade of the Royal Marines. I loved it. I was very short, of course. I still am very short, a little bit taller than I was then. And the Royal Marines always used to, because of the undulations, you know, in the parade ground, always gave me the impression they were marching on their knees. I was very moved by the brave sight. My patriotism was unlimited. But at the same time, I couldn't stop laughing as a boy because they were moving in a foreshortened way on their knees. I would like it also to remind me of those early days of the Royal Yacht Concert Party and my father who served in the yacht. Also, I would use this for marching up and down the beach of this desert island. I'd have fashioned a rifle out of wood. I was always passionately fond of arms drill in the army, square bashing. I do an awful lot of that. And I'd use it also as a sort of worker's playtime or music while you work style of thing for when I'm building the boat to get me really at it. And, of course, I would definitely play it at the launching.
Life on the Ocean Wave, the Royal Yacht Band. If you could only have one of these eight records you've chosen, Kenneth, which?
Schnozzle Durante. A little bit this and a little bit of that.
And one luxury to take with you.
A guitar.
Do you play one?
Only cowboy songs. But I can't play the guitar at all. I've always meant to learn. This would be the great time to learn.
Yes, and one book, apart from the Bible and Shakespeare.
Well, I can only think of the last book I've read, and that is J.B. Priestley's Margin Released, which is so full of good things that I must read it at least another 6 dozen times to get the full meaning out of it.
Right. And thank you, Kenneth Connor, for letting us hear your choice of Desert Island Disc.
It's been a great joy. I hope I enjoy it as much as I've enjoyed this session.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.